At that time, after John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. The time of fulfillment, it is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he was making his way along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets into the sea. They were fishermen. He called to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." They left their nets and became followers of Jesus. And he went on a little farther and caught sight of James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in their boat mending their nets. And he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee and the other hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With these simple words, "Come, follow me," we have the eventual reshaping of the entire world. And they said yes, and they followed him. A miraculous thing is 2,000 years later. That's where we get the 2,000 year. This new millennium from the time of Jesus. You have heard the same words. "Come, follow me." And you said yes. And you have followed him. And we rejoice in your praise, in your glory of God. But if we are to be careful, in a major, major problem with Christianity today, is in our following Jesus Christ, we think that we've gotten ourselves to a plateau called Christianity by which we've kind of made it. That we've gotten ourselves ready. There are some people who won't come to church until they straighten up their life first. And you will never straighten up your life, first, last, or forever. He shapens it up. Jonah in the first reading was not ready. He ran away. God had to capture him. The apostles in today's gospel are not ready. They deny him. They run away. They're weak. He becomes very upset with them. One of them he calls Satan. "You called me? What can you do with the likes of me? Watch and see." And I would challenge each one of you as we began this Mass, I would love to meet each one of you now and just say, "What was on your mind when I said, let us call to mind our sins? What was the sin?" Well, it might be a little personal. You don't have to say it out loud. But give me a sin. "Oh, I was thinking about whether it's, you know, the car's going to start, the battery's kind of bad, and I was, you know, wondering about something else." How many are aware of the fact that we are sinners? The most of God's people have a mentality that we're a lot better than a lot of other people. and we try to portray our goodness. Nobody knows what we're doing wrong. Pretending that we are something that we are not. Call to mind our sins. Our sins are far from us. We're not even thinking of them. It's very, very, very important. It's the first step and the most important step. You people have done wonders with your children in teaching them, in preparing them, and more. You found out that you cannot teach until you yourself do it. And so you're teaching them what it means to sacrifice and to give of what God has given to them. Some of you put your children through the ringer after Mass and they have to say what the sermon was about. And in the beginning it was like pulling teeth. But some of your families can get a point from one and a story from another. And I remember this, and you can get the whole sermon back together. The gospel, you hear it on your way home. You do a wonderful job. There's another task that's before us that's more important than that. In coming into the house of God, they should be questioned together with mom and dad. What is going to change because of your meeting Jesus Christ? What sin are you going to recall? What were you yesterday that you are not going to be this afternoon because we walk into the house of God? Otherwise, we're going through day after day and we're not even thinking of anything that we're doing wrong. We're a lot better than a lot of people. At least we go to church. We got our children. We even adopt. We give tithes. This is not salvation. You're missing the point. You're making the same mistake Napoleon made. He made two big mistakes plus a lot of others. One was he brought his army into Russia. And the second was he caught somebody who had committed a terrible crime, worthy of death. And he was lined up before the firing squad. And he hears this cry, "General Napoleon, what is that?" "Oh, it's his mother. Please, have mercy on my son. Don't kill him." He said, "Woman, this son of yours deserves no mercy." And she said, "If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy, would it?" We cry out, "Lord, have mercy," like we've got a right to it, like we deserve mercy. We've been faithful. At least we're with our spouse. We're raising our family. We come to church. Until you say, "Lord, have mercy on me," and no, you do not deserve mercy, you will not know him. You will not be his follower. It's like cleaning the house for company and everything is perfect. Everything is dusted. Everything is clean. Everything is vacuumed. And they're going to come at 3:00 and at 2:45 the sun comes out. Why does this? Look at the windows are dirty. Didn't even notice it without the sun. As soon as the sun comes out. That's why saints are so aware of their sins. Because the sun is shining in their life. Let Jesus shine in your life. And you'll see the dust in the air. You'll see the dirt in the windows. You'll be well aware. And you would come into the house of God. "God, have mercy on me." The thoughts that I have, the motivation, the selfishness. Me first. "Lord, help me." And if there's a spirit of, "I'm tired of repenting. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to be a better husband. I'm the way I am, and that's it." did God say to you, come follow me? Maybe he wasn't talking to you. Maybe you were never invited. Be very careful that when you come into this house of God, that you come with your sins. You're well aware. Some very, very serious infidelity, masturbation, abortion, birth control, refusing to talk to a member of your family, or you act nice, but the words are not in your heart, my God, I love that woman. And then you come into... You know there are a lot of people who are not here tonight, this morning, because last night they were having an affair. And they just feel so dirty, like we're so innocent. My God, have mercy because of the sins of last night and yesterday and all week. Which one is going to change? What do you see in that window that you're going to clean out and say it's gone? What attitude in your family life and toward your spouse? It's gone. I'm changing. Then you're like the apostles. We're called Satan, get behind me, denied him, pride, fighting to get the first place. And he took them and made them into his own image. There's something wrong with our walk with Jesus when we think that we have to be just so goody-goodies and then Jesus will love us. It's not true. It's like this bread. Imagine if the bread could talk. So I'm going to become the body of Jesus. So I better... be clean, get rid of that dust, and I better look good, and I better just be the best of wheat. It's just bread. That's all it is bread. It's brought into the house of God, made into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And you're just a sinner. I'm just a human being, weak with imperfections and selfishness and anger. And I'm coming into the house of God, and he's going to make you a child of God. But you've got to let him do it. You can't do it. He's got to do it. All you have to do, like the disciples, just leave the nets. Come and follow him. Come and follow him. And that's what you've already done. Now let him work in your life. Listen to him. Wouldn't that be something to be followers of Jesus Christ? And we don't listen to him? We talk, but we don't walk the talk. What's the talk? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. What is it? What are you ripping out of your heart? Like St. Peter who just wept and wept and wept. Do you weep for your sins? When you see the dirty window, you say, God, I'm sorry. Imagine my thinking that thought about a mother-in-law or just hanging up the receiver so hard. I couldn't be nice enough to say, oh, I'm sorry, you must have the wrong number. I said, go to hell. No, God, I'm sorry. I am sorry. That's gone. I won't do it again. You know, the most wonderful thing is that you're able to recognize that you said go to hell and slam the receiver. Most people will do it and say, I had a right. It was an obscene call. I had a right. She had no right telling me what I was doing wrong. Most people will say they have a right or they don't believe that it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Whether it's masturbation or birth control or abortion. And when you commit a serious sin, you say, I have done wrong. Do you know it's a grace to be able to know that it's wrong? Today people don't know sin. They don't know it's wrong. It's a tremendous grace that you know that you're a sinner. Because then the Lord can work and make you the most beautiful bride, the most beautiful wife, the most beautiful husband. But if you don't see the word in the whip because there's no sun shining. You just get dirtier and dirtier, and you're a lot better than a lot of people because you know how to dress, and you fix your hair so nice, and you know how to smile, even to enemies. Remember that when Jesus said, smile to your enemy, but hate him, get even, talk against him, smile nice. Good morning, neighbor. How are you? You O-S-O-B, you. No. That's not what Jesus calls us to, is it? My God, I love that neighbor. What do you love that neighbor for? Because Jesus told me to love my neighbor. Period. Are you aware? What sin did you recall? What's going out? What's gone? What are you going to run after me for and say, I want absolution? I think this was a mortal sin. Well, if you just think it was a mortal sin, it wasn't a mortal sin. A mortal sin, you have to know. It's got to be deliberate. When you commit a mortal sin, you know it's a mortal sin. And then you don't receive the Eucharist. But you say, Jesus, have mercy on me. He called to you, come follow me. And you're following him, but not because you're a goody-goody, but because you're a Saint Peter, and a Saint Andrew, and a Saint John, and a Saint James. And he's going to make you into his own image. And you're going to shine like the sun. Not only will the sun come in, but you yourself will shine like the sun. Come, follow me. And the face of the earth was changed with our first apostle saying yes. And the face of this earth will be changed because you say yes and let him work in your hearts. Please stand. We believe in one God, the Father.